Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Today I'm going to be talking about some research I'm performing at the USDA Research Station in Brookings, South Dakota, which is really focused on understanding some of the microbial benefits that cover crops and other diversified cropping systems can provide to growers, and how we can use that to help in the agronomic systems. And I'm going to be doing this more from a fungal perspective. So cover crops are defined as crops that are planted to reduce the amount of time that soil is left bare, in particular during that period in between a cash crop growing periods. So instead of having a field that will look like this with all the bare soil exposed, we could have a field that is completely covered in plant residue, and therefore that could bring some benefits. Also, other cover crops could be used as through an intercropping system, and in that way, even during the growing season, there's very little soil that's left bare. The types of benefits that cover crops provide could include a reduction of soil erosion. It can help to manage both soil moisture and soil fertility, which in turn could have a very important economical benefits to growers. And also, it can be used to disrupt weed, pest, and pathogen cycles. So cover crops belong to this set of agricultural practices that tend to promote soil health. And most of these practices, at least I think, are related to microbial community structure and activity. So all these practices here that promote healthy agricultural soils tend to increase microbial biomass and activity, increase diversity, microbial diversity and abundance measures, and will also change abundance ratios. For example, the changes in fungal bacteria ratios with the higher fungal bacteria ratios in healthier agricultural soils. So the benefits of cover crops and other diversified cropping systems are a result of interactions across environmental and biological factors. So the way I look at this, when we have a particular management practice, this will affect not only the soil environment and in turn its host plant, but also all the microbes that are associated in that interaction. And we've seen examples today on how if we're looking at the microbial communities, for example, in an ordination plot, like in this sketch, we can see communities that are affected directly by management, but we can also associate that, for example, to a healthier crop, healthier agricultural system. So with this in mind, I just was going to give you an example of how this looks in the real world. So this is an example of the Arbuscula mycorrhizal fungi and how they are being affected by agricultural practices. So AMF fungi are obligate symbionts of plants, and as most of you know, they promote plant health through many different mechanisms. And they are very sensitive to agricultural practices, and here we see a very drastic decrease in abundance and diversity of AMF fungi in agricultural systems compared to native prairie and other grasslands. And even if we compare within different management practices, in this case, in the x-axis, there are different cover crop treatments, the number of AMF propagules, as shown in this axis, can also be altered. So if we were to use an old cover crop system, we could potentially have a greater benefit in terms of mycorrhizal colonization in the subsequent cash crop. So with this in mind, one of the goals of our research is to see if we can predict or not the benefits of a cover crop or another rotation sequence, for instance, based on the diversity and the identity of microbial communities enriched by a specific cover crop mixture. So going from knowing these are the changes that we observe is more, how can we use this information to inform our farmers or even our experiments which crop to use together in their cover crop treatment. So to answer this, we set up a small experiment with the main goal being generate information regarding microbial benefits of particular cover crop species, but more specifically, we wanted to determine first, as the first step, what are the differences in diversity and relative abundance of root endophytes and arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi retained by four different cover crop species. As I said, this is the first step on providing information on the benefits of cover crops from a microbial perspective. So for this, we set up a greenhouse experiment in which soils from a prairie here in Minnesota was used as the soil inoculum, and we used prairie soils thinking that it was going to be a very species-rich soil inoculum. So that was our target. And we grew in the greenhouse veg, oats, clover, and wheat. After we sampled roots from these hosts after flowering, after they reached the maturity, and roots were collected and watched to focus on identified communities, and we performed pyrosequencing of fungal markers. So we focused on three fungal ribosomal markers. We used the small subunit as a AMF-specific marker, so we targeted AMF-specific, we used AMF-specific primers. And we did ITS and large subunits for fungi. For the purpose of this talk, I'm going to focus only on the AMF, the small subunit, and the ITS region for fungi. And just like as the previous talk, we used the U-search and CHIME pipelines for our sequence data analysis and integrated that into the phyloseq package in R. So I'll start first by describing diversity measures that we observed. So for most of the next figures I'm going to present, I'll have the cover crop treatment here on the bottom and some type of abundance or diversity measure in this case on our y-axis. So in terms of overall diversity and overall taxa richness, and this is for fungi, we observed that wheat has the greatest, recovers the greatest fungal richness, in particular compared to clover. However, when we look at evenness, which accounts also abundance in addition to richness of taxa, we see that there's really not difference in terms of enrichment by each particular cover crop. For the AMF communities in particular, we still observe wheat having the greatest AMF richness. However, we can see that veg not only has pretty high RGU richness, but also shows a more even community. So veg provides both of those situations and is better than oats that still is pretty even but is lower in the richness end. In terms of overall community structure, we see that cover crop species, as we expect, enrich for different fungal communities assemblages. So here I'm showing two different ordination plots, which are based on nonmetric multidimensional scaling of a very crude distant matrix of the LTUs found on each particular cover crop host species treatment. On the left, I have the results from the analysis of the ITS region, and on the right, the results from the analysis of the AMF-specific marker. So for the ITS region, we can clearly observe that our fungal communities are segregated by host species with oats and veg being a better clustered. Clover tends to be a little bit more variable, in particular in our data set. However, we don't really see that type of differentiation when we're looking at the AMF only, AMF fungi only. One thing that we do see is that we consistently observe less sample-to-sample variation in our fungal OTUs or AMF OTUs in the wheat compared to the other crops. So how that relates to what are the fungal groups present that are present in these hosts? So of course we can talk two ways. We can talk about what happens within a host versus what happens between hosts. So for example, within hosts, I just want to highlight clover here. We see that if we're looking again on the left side, I have the IGS2 results, and on the right side I have the AMF specific results. For example, clover is very interesting because there's a greater proportion of sequences recovered that are AMF only with the ITS region. So we are recovering more mycorrhizae compared to other fungi with clover. And we see that, of course we see that with AMF-specific primers. But what I highlighted here is that AMF that we recover from clover are particularly belong to the diversity spiralis order. So we are enriching for a group of fungi, the AMF, and specifically the diversity spiralis. So we observe that when we start to compare across hosts. But I'll just show you results of individual taxa that are differentially abundant across species. So what we did is we ran some significance tests, and they were corrected for multiple comparisons based on our relative abundance data. And I'm showing wheat and vetch because those are the ones that have the greatest OTU richness and also have the greatest significance values. So here what I have on the left is the results for wheat and on the right for vetch. And this is the taxa, taxonomic rank, taxonomic hierarchy. And here in these squares that have color, I'm showing for which gene region we observe this taxa to be more abundant or differentially more abundant in this host species. So with these color figures here, I want to show how we observe consistent results across the different fungal markers. But in terms of individual taxa, I wanted to highlight a few, which are for wheat, we observed an enrichment of the members of the Lysiosporaceae family and the Magnaportaceae. And as you recall, Magnaportaceae, there's Magnaportia grisea, that another Magnaportia that are common pathogens of wheat and other gramineous crops. And Lysiosporaceae has, there's plenty of pathogen and endophytic fungi that are belong within this family. And also within this group, we found sequences that were unique only to this host. So they were not only differentially abundant, some of the groups, but some of the other OTUs were unique to this host. In vetch, we find a similar situation. There's a different set of groups that are more fungi that are more abundant in this, we found more abundantly in this host. And I will highlight the genus Ilionectria. And within the genus Ilionectria, there's a group of root pathogens that are pretty important. Some of the Ilionectria belong, some of the, you probably have heard about the Cylindrocarpon, which was an anamorph of Ilionectria. So that's one group of fungi that are important. But I also wanted to highlight, for example, the Sillerealis, that they were not only highly abundant in wheat, but this was a group of fungi that was shared with oats. So we can see also some similarity depending on are these both crops being grasses. And the other group I wanted to highlight is within the agricultural mycorrhizal fungi is the diversity spiralis. This group were really low in wheat and they were pretty high in the other three crops. So there's something about wheat that tends to promote more the abundance of the glomerulis versus the diversity spiralis. And that could have some implications in terms of, for instance, phosphorus acquisition. And the last thing that I did is there is this database that has just been published that's called FunGuild, and which basically what it does is if you have your taxa that has been assigned to a genus level, it will run against a database that assigns your taxa to five different functional groups. So the only requirement is that you have a genus assignment. And of course, there's going to be a lot of other caveats associated to it. But I thought it was an interesting way to look at our data. And again, we see that there's a greater proportion of AMN sequences recovered by the legumes, AMF here in this sort of brown color, in particular the oats, but it's also true for vetch. And I think that's something I've heard multiple times during this meeting, that legumes tend to promote AMF, agricultural mycorrhizal fungi formation. And the other group that is interesting to look at is the endophytes and plant pathogens, which are in blue, with clover enriching least for this group of fungi, and the taproot growths that are in yellow. I found it interesting that even though there was not really a group of at a smaller taxonomic level, there was not a specific group of fungi that was enriching oat. As a broad sense, the saprotrophs appear to be enriched in oak and in oat, and this could have an effect on, for instance, decomposition of organic matter. So if you can read a little bit through these conclusions, but if you are going to ask me, so which cover crop is better to use, then what I'm going to answer is, it depends. So again, we still need to do a lot more research and see how these affects our subsequent cash crop and how much of these communities are going to be affecting directly or not our cash crop, which is going to be maize. But maybe if you're more interested in nitrogen fixation and arbuscular mycorrhizal formation, then you definitely want to go with that. With a legume cover crop. But if you're interested in more boosting populations that can increase decomposition, then you might be interested in working more with something like oats. Or if you're just ones about diversity and abundance, then maybe wheat is going to be your call. So again, this just adds into the different tools that growers can use to decide which cover crop or which crop they can use in their rotation sequence. And with that, I would also like to acknowledge my funding source, which I forgot to mention in the first slide, which is the South Dakota Corn Council. And if there is any question, I will be happy to answer. Yes, it's Fangio. Here is the reference, Nguyen. So it's still in press. So it's just Fun from Fungi and Guild. And they also have one for nematodes. And yeah, so I think it's Fungal Ecology probably what they're trying to publish.